chapter 15. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, though ultimately we're going to be looking at the entire chapter, because in this chapter you have three stories that are told by Jesus. And so they began to grumble. Why? Because first and foremost, they saw themselves, the scribes and the Pharisees, as being really chosen by God. I mean, they were God's men. And not only were they God's men, they worked really, really hard at making sure that they lived up to all the laws and commandments found in the scriptures. And then they looked at Jesus, who was not only talking to them, but he was eating with them. And, you know, in the Middle East, it wasn't a matter of just like going to McDonald's. They would sit down, even today, a meal's like 2 hours long. So Jesus was literally hanging out with these people. How could Jesus ever do such a thing? I read, and my understanding of the way things are supposed to work, Jesus, you're wrong, because here's what I know. I know that God doesn't like the people that you are hanging out with. Jesus ultimately was telling these stories to people who had contempt for the people Jesus was hanging out with. Which brings me to the key understanding. I want to put the key understanding. I want to talk about it just a moment, because I want to ask a question. And this is for you. Because first and foremost, it's going to get under your skin multiple ways. Who is it that you are pretty sure that God doesn't like? Who is it that you really are pretty sure that God can't stand? Now, immediately, I've gotten under skin of every English person in this room. You're going, Mr. Van Proyen, you did it again. That's not proper English. That's the kind of feeling they were having towards Jesus. But if I choose to start a new form of English, if I get enough behind me, I could really make it happen. Who is it, though, that you are pretty sure God can't stand? Let me tell you who. Democrats. Republicans. Illegal aliens. People who run sanctuary cities, people who take a knee and disrespect the flag, or people who don't even bother to address or admit the racial tension in our society. We all have a belief in our hearts that really align really well with the scribes and Pharisees, because we get really, really good at our religion. And we work really, really hard to do it right before God. And we look at other people who just don't give a rip and go, you know, I don't think God can stand you very much. Now, we don't say those words unless you're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Oh. But come on, right? That's where we say it. Because in our hearts, we really, really believe that there are people that God can't stand. And listen, if that's you, and I know there's parts of me that come into this category, that's who Jesus is telling this story to. Because I would think that at some point, those Pharisees and scribes left and went back to, you know, maybe they went to BJ's, or they went to Logan's, or they went to Luby's, somewhere after that wonderful service that they just heard those stories about. And they're sitting around the table, and the discussion goes, you don't think. No, God really doesn't like those people. You wouldn't think that God actually values them, do you? No, they don't. Somewhere along the line, they went along going, wait a minute, this Jesus who told us these stories, we got to get him out of the picture. It was this kind of thing that got under the religious craw, skin, whatever you want to put it, that caused them to ultimately put Jesus on that cross. So I want to look at these commonalities, three commonalities in these stories. The first commonality that is in every single one is that there is something that has gone missing. And it is really, really important to someone. Sheep, the coin, and the Son. And in each of these cases, that which is lost, sheep doesn't seem that important. You know, 1 in 99, 1 in 4, 10, whatever the silver coins were. And then just 1 to 1. Notice the diminishing value of many to one. It really mattered. It wasn't something that they could just cast off and go on in life with. It was something that became very, very important to them. Was thinking about this portion of Scripture, and I think ultimately when we think about what Jesus is talking about, this value, for me as a Christ follower, for you as a Christ follower, before you're a Christ follower, it doesn't matter. It's not my place to judge other people on Facebook or Twitter. It's not my job to make judgment on people who are on TV. But for me, in these stories, Jesus is saying there's immense value, which means that whether it's something that one would consider not a big deal to something that's a real big deal, it has so much value that he takes away my right. Even though I'm a Christian, Jesus takes away my right as one of his followers to hate anyone. Because everyone is valuable. So he's taken that away from me. Kind of the key understanding in this, I gave you three, one for each point. Is that lost people are valuable to God, so they should be valuable to me. Should be important to me. I'm telling you, there are people, I don't really run close to them because I usually see them on TV or read them on Facebook or read them on a news site, and the other that I just walk away going, you just need to stand before Jesus. And I devalue them rather than saying, wait a minute, they're still as corrupt, as lying, as hateful, as divisive as they are valued by God. We had one of our kids, by the way, that was very good at hiding in the most awkward of places. And I was thinking of that, and Clarissa's laughing, because there are three very specific stories that I can give. I'll give you two of them this morning. One of them was at a Target. Have you ever noticed when you drive down the road, the Amber Alert? You ever notice those? If maybe those of you who have lived here a long time know that, you know, in the mid-90s, I think it was 1996, a young lady by the name of Amber somebody was actually abducted and murdered from Arlington. And that's, now Amber, by the way, Amber is not, they say it kind of comes from her, but it's the government, so it's an acronym, American Missing something, 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 something thing. That's ultimately what it comes out to. But Amber became so important, they did a whole system. But when one of our kids were younger, Clarissa was in a Target, and they thought it would be funny to go find a place in Target and hide. Now, I wasn't there, but, you know, I can only imagine what Clarissa did. She looked around and could not find our kid, so what did she do? She elicited help because our child, I'm trying not best not to mention the guilty, our child was so important that she was going to do whatever she could to make sure that which is most valuable, most close to us, would not be lost. She didn't know that the child was hiding, so got a hold of the people at Target, and they did a code Adam and locked the store down. And then everybody in the store, what happens? They begin to look for that which is missing. I think that in the church, we've lost the value of the lost, so we've stopped searching for that which is missing. Why? Because there's no personal value to us. But God looks and sees value in every person, even the person that you struggle with some level of contempt with. Next commonality in that story is that in each one of the story, I kind of alluded this with what happened in Target, each one of the stories, whoever was missing, whatever was missing, warranted an all-out search. And I've got to think that even today, the Father in heaven is still searching after, looking for those who are lost in our community. Those who have not come to their senses and ultimately turned to the Father and said, I'll follow you. I'll come home to you. Think about how important this dynamic was to Jesus. Jesus has been beaten. He's been taken back in the Caporium, the center courtyard area, and they put the crown of thorns on him, and they put this in the, and they mock him and they make fun of him. And literally now, if you've ever had a head wound, you know that heads, they just bleed profusely. So Jesus is bleeding profusely, and they say, now you got to carry this cross. And he goes so far being able to carry the cross before someone helps him. And they nail his hands and they nail his feet. And he literally is losing his life blood, but he's still searching. Because next to him on another cross is yet one more who's lost. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. The heart of God is so much for the lost. And I think for us in spiritual formation, when we first come to know Jesus, there's this excitement, there's this exuberance, and then there's a season where we're just trying to get it all figured out, and then we get it all figured out, and we've lost the exuberance, and we've lost the excitement, and we lose this art and this desire and this passion to go for an all-out search. And so I think that if God is in this place where he is searching after what is missing, I think God wants us on his search team, don't you? In fact, that's the key understanding. I think you need to write that down. Each of us should be a member of God's search team. I don't think any person that's a follower of Jesus, regardless of age, is exempt from being part of that team. Years ago when Clarissa and I, in fact, it was the year 1999, and we moved out of Phoenix to the White Mountains of Arizona to escape Y2K. And I still have some of the rice. No, I'm kidding. Some of you got to be old enough to get that joke. We moved to the White Mountains because we agreed to be associate missionaries on the Apache Indian Reservation. And it was a huge culture shock for us. You walk into Bash's, a grocery store there, and people look at you because you're of different color. No, I'm sure no one here understands what that's like. But for us, it was a very unique experience, and it was different. And we had just started going. The name of the church was White River Assembly of God, and I'll never forget. It was a Wednesday night, and it was during worship. And our same child who likes to go and hide places decided that they would go and hide. Now, I didn't know none of this was going on because I was playing the drums. And if you've ever been in a White Mountain Apache worship service, it is really, really, really loud. And actually, the worship leader, Billy, he would put his electric guitar amp right behind my head. My ears still ring, by the way. From that experience, and so I'm worshiping away, and all of a sudden I hear these words, Richard. I said, keep playing, Richard. And I'm looking around, I'm going, what on earth is going on? That's not God's voice. I know God's voice. That's not God's voice. And I heard it a third time. Now, if you ever notice in the Bible, and I think this is, whether God is saying Moses, Moses, David, David, does it multiple times because, ladies, this is just an understanding of men. It's hard to get into our head, okay? Once you get in there, you're in there, but it's hard to get in. Well, what had happened was our child had gone missing. And Clarissa's freaking out because we're in this new land where, our daughter's just going to blend in so well. Oh, I just gave it up, didn't I? I tried really hard. Sorry, dear, if you're listening. She stood out like just crazy, but she's gone. And so in that church, the drums were in the back here, right? And behind was the baptismal. And there were these closets over on the other side that you can get to the baptismal. Clarissa had gone in the closet and gone in the baptismal and was yelling my name during the worship service, trying to get my attention. Now, I didn't know what to do. And So what did we end up doing? We started gathering those who were closest to us, and we did an all-out search for our daughter. In fact, actually, since I've already given up, she's in this classroom underneath this table on a bench. So you could look on the floor. She wouldn't even be on the floor. Now, I don't know if you've ever lost a kid for a while. Clarissa just had all these horrible imageries that she's throwing at me of what possibly could have happened to our daughter. But our Heavenly Father knows that people don't even have 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, as we saw earlier this last week. They could be 15, 16. And so there's this all-out search, and he's saying to his family, you've got to help me find these people. And I think he's calling us to be on that team. And so the last part, and I want to take a few moments here, because I get excited when I think about, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a shepherd, it doesn't matter if it's a lady, it doesn't matter if it's the dad. There is a celebration that took place where God is saying that when that which is lost is found, we're going to celebrate. With each one that is found, all of heaven stops and celebrates. So I want to give you this imagery. Last year, Clarissa and I went to this semi-formal dinner, and it was at this really nice hotel, and they had the Sagu Jazz Band, which is, you know, I don't know, it's about a 20, 30-piece jazz band that was playing the music, and it had all the nice white cloth tables, and it was all set real well, and everybody had their place that they sat at, and the jazz band would be playing, and there'd be all this conversation that was going on. They had that big thing up for the pictures to be taken in front of it and all that stuff, and it was done. I mean, I went and found, I had got my nicest shirt and tie, and I was in a jacket. We just dressed up for the occasion. And you think about all of heaven rejoicing. I don't know how close I can come. The Bible really doesn't give us that full picture. But can you imagine with me for a moment? Here the Heavenly Father is at this head table. Because you know at these things, there's always the head table, right? So here's the Father. And then to his right is the Son. And then there's the Holy Spirit somewhere. And I don't even know what that even comes close to looking like. And then all of a sudden, somebody finds their senses. Somebody comes home, and the Father takes his wine glass, and he hits the side of it. Ding, 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 ding. And immediately, the angelic band, if there's such a thing, they stop playing. And then on the big screen behind the Heavenly Father comes Bob Jones. Bob Jones has come to his senses. Bob Jones has come home. Bob Jones was lost and now he's found. The Holy Spirit went after Bob Jones and he's come home. And all of a sudden, all of heaven begins to rejoice. Don't know if it's for a minute. Don't know if it's for 5 minutes. Don't know if it's for half an hour or an hour. Just don't know. But all heaven rejoices. And then all of a sudden, the party starts happening again. The music starts playing. People start talking. Food starts going. The drink starts flowing. Non-alcoholic drinks start flowing, just for those of you who needed to hear that. Started flowing. And all of a sudden, the Father goes, ding, 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 ding. Heavenly band stops. He says, Mary Jones has come home. And all of a sudden, the angels jump up and, yeah, this is great. All the people went, yeah, that is great. Awesome. Praise Jesus. Yet another one's come home. And the celebration is all around one person's name. Now let this sink in for a moment. For me, there was a moment the first Sunday of the year 1990 that I had come to my senses. It's in Mesa, Arizona. I didn't know what to go to. I just opened the phone book, and we had phone books there. If it was now, I would have Googled it. And I went and looked at churches, and I went, oh, there's an AG church. I think my parents went to an AG church. I'll go there. That's how I came AG, by the way. And I walked into that church, and I sat back in the back. And I'll never forget, there was only one aisle down the middle. Pews went to the left side. Pews went to the right side. And I sat kind of middle towards the back on that back right side, if you're facing left side, if you're looking out there. And they're singing the songs, and I don't know the songs, but I got these tears coming down because inside them having this moment with a God that I'm saying yes to. And at the end of the service, Oliver Swain, pastor at the time, gone to be with Jesus now, he stood up and he says, does his message. I don't know what he preached about. I just know that he said, if there's someone here this morning that wants to follow Jesus, I want you to come down to this altar. And I don't think he finished the sentence before I popped up in the back and I came up and I came down. Tears flowing out of my eyes because I was lost and I came home. You know, listen, I don't know what it's like for that one that was the prodigal son. I'm sure he had some form of the thought process in his head. What am I going to say to my dad when I get there? Is he going to accept me? I got to make sure that I say I'm sorry and I wouldn't do it again and just let me be a servant and I'm going down. But he humbled himself. And for me, there was that act of humbling myself. And I went down and I said, yes. I didn't worry about my life, what I was going to adjust or what I was going to do. I just wanted to say, yes, I've come to my senses. You come to your senses and there's a growth pattern afterwards. But it starts by, like that prodigal son, you come to your senses. And for me, that was the moment that maybe, just maybe, it doesn't look like this. I know it happened, but maybe it looks a little like this, that the father went ding, 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 ding. All of heaven stopped. They stopped the conversation. They stopped serving the food. They stopped the band. And up on the screen came Richard Paul Van Proyen has come to his senses and come home. And all of heaven erupts. All of heaven rejoices. Now, I don't know when that moment was for you, but let me tell you something. There was a moment for you, and there was a moment for you, and there's a moment for you, and there's a moment for you that God had all of heaven stop to proclaim the moment that you came to your senses and came home. Because that which was valuable was you. That which was lost was you. And God says, I'm going to do an all-out search. And when you're found, when you come to your senses and you come home, all of heaven begins to rejoice. Now, here's what I'd like to do. You've got at the end of your rows, you've got these little sticky notes. Would you just take and would you just write your name? And then write for me, it would be 1995. I'd put first Sunday, because I don't remember the date. I just know it was the first Sunday of 1990. That, for me, that's what it was. Would you write down when you came to your senses? Hey, there are some of you that are here today that you can say it was last Sunday I came to my senses and all of heaven stopped. Now, you may not have had the greatest week of your life. You didn't, everything doesn't go perfect, but here's what you know. Heaven has recorded your name. It flashed something up there and all of heaven rejoiced because you came to your senses. So you write your name down, right? Last Sunday. I was talking with Sandra this week, and Sandra said, I said, so when was it for you? She said, you know, I don't even really remember. I just know that I was six. I was 6 years old. And I started following Jesus when I was 6 years old. So maybe you don't know the date. And so you could put an age. I was six. But here's what I want to ultimately do with this. But I'm not going to ask you to get up right yet. But when we're done writing, I want half of you to come to this side. And I just want you to stick that thing up here with your name. If you can't come down, send it with somebody. And then those are on this side. I want you to come and I want you to put it on this one over here. And let's fill. I need one here, honey, too. I want to do this. Oh, you're giving me yours. We want to fill this up. Because there's a declaration, there's this reminder for me that heaven stopped and rejoiced for me. How can I not personally be motivated? Yeah, it's fine if you guys want to start coming, because I'm going to have you come again. So if you want to wait a minute, you can. It's up to you, because we got the other thing to fill out. All right, stick it on this whiteboard right here. Yeah, perfect. So I think for me, there's nothing harder as a Christian to see Christians who have gotten so far away from their moment. They've so intellectualized their Christianity. They've become that scribe or that Pharisee that they've said, that person, God just doesn't like them. God can't stand them, that they've stopped valuing. I want us to come back to that moment so we personally begin to value that moment. Now, that brings us back to this card. This card is filled with people, and I believe that they're quite possibly, and I think I'm saying this prophetically, there's someone in this room that when I talked about the contempt for a person, the Holy Spirit says, that's the person I want you to reach out to. They're so far away from your way of thinking, and yet God is saying, I want you to reach out to that person. Now, I thought about what could be our sign? What could be our symbol of praying over these? And so what I did is I went, I think every good party has a really good punch bowl, right? So when you have written your names down, I'm going to ask that you bring them down here, which you could do two at once, was what I was talking about earlier, but it's okay if you didn't. But I want you to bring it down. And let's fill this with names of people that we are going to begin to pray for. People who are lost, people who God values, people that God says, I've got an all-out search for them, and let's begin to pray for them over the next 40 days. So we're going to have a time in every service that we pray over the names in this bowl. I actually probably should have for the sake of time, but I already know my names. I have two names, and I'm going to be praying for them, and I'm going to be doing something in that last 20 days to make sure that I bring the presence of Jesus to them before I invite them. But as you've written the name or names, I want you to come and drop it in this bowl right down here. Right down here. I hope your heart is like my heart for Bethel. I want Bethel to grow, but I don't want Bethel to grow because of some other church split. I want Bethel to grow because people are coming to their senses and saying yes to Jesus. And they're beginning to follow him. So as these are coming, I want to close out by praying for these, and then we've got something just a little different we're going to do before we close out. But would you just join me in prayer, and let's lift these people up before the Lord. Father, Lord, I know that, Lord, your Spirit is moving and drawing even right now. Lord, we know your heart, that really none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm glad, Lord, that you are not slack, as that the writer there talked about, but you're patient, and you've been patient with these people. And I pray, Lord, that not only will you bring people around, and Lord, I think of the guy that I worked for, Michael, that ended up coming to know you because he had Christians not only that worked for him, but Lord, you brought a Christian into his all-Jewish neighborhood because, God, you surround people with Christians that you are drawing and bringing to yourself. And I pray, God, that each person has at least three Christians that will begin to speak into their life. I pray, oh God, that you'll give them experiences, even rough, hard experiences that will draw them back to you so that they might come to their senses in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for a sensitivity in our hearts, the people of Bethel, to be obedient to your Spirit when you tell us what you want us to do, what action you want us to take to show that loving act of kindness toward them. God, I thank you for doing that, Lord. And God, as we go over these next 40 days and yet beyond, Lord God, I pray, oh God, that ultimately Bethel grows because, God, your kingdom is growing. Another sheep has been found. Another coin has been found. The lost son has come home. And there's great rejoicing in heaven because yet, God, someone has come to their senses. And so, Lord, I pray that it's these people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, would you remind us? In fact, church, if and I would ask you to say this too, the Holy Spirit, remind me to begin to pray for them daily, that it would become a habit, that we would stick them on the bathroom window or the bathroom mirror or the the dashboard of our car, that we would pray for them daily to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would be followers of you, Lord. I give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited. I know that God, I have an amazing amount of faith for what God is going to do with these people. And we'll be doing things over the next month and a week to really build that faith in you as well.